The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown for Thursday, December 17th. I say that very carefully because here in Sydney, where I am, it is actually Friday the 18th, which caused a bit of confusion for my guests today.
Guests who I will introduce shortly, but before I introduce them, I should introduce myself properly. I'm, of course, Mr. Jolly of Sydney, and you can find me at that handle on Twitter, Mr. Jolly of Sydney, all one word. Hit me up with your questions, give me a follow, and I'll probably even follow you back.
Welcome to the show. Without further ado, let's just jump straight into it. DFS legends, as well as fantasy law, season-long fantasy legends at HoopBall, I've got two very special guests with me today. Firstly, it's Mike Apotria. Have I got the pronunciation right?
That was probably better than, like, I would say 80% of people do on their first shot. So, yeah, it's Mike Apotria. So, perfect. I'll take it.
Mike Apotria. If I do, like, a New York, New Jersey accent, I can probably get it right. But you might hate me for my terrible sort of Robert De Niro from Taxi Driver New York accent. Yes, indeed. Please forgive me. So you're affiliated with HoopBall, of course. You're involved with the DFS package, which HoopBall sells, which is amazing. And DFS Today. Tell us a bit about that, Mike.
Yeah, it's something I've got involved with HoopBall pretty much since I've been there. I've been with HoopBall for just a little bit over four years or about now, and kind of started building this DFS platform that we have over there from the ground up. I mean, it was something that they allowed me to do, and they gave me the opportunity to do, and something that I'm always incredibly thankful to been able to do. And it's just grown into this beast that we have now. And now it's what started as, you know, a podcast maybe once a week and a couple articles here and there has turned into a 7-day a week podcast breaking down every single game, open Discord channel. We have daily articles, layup lines, the whole nine. And I'm you know, grateful to be working with the team that we have over there, Santino being one of those guys, kind of my right hand man, one of my best friends in real life too. So there's no better person that, you know, you want to be able to, yeah, there it is. I expected that, trying to be all nice and warm and fuzzy over here. And he's, you know, he's got to be, we try to get the good cop bad cop thing going, but you know, nonetheless, it's an awesome thing, and I'm, you know, just grateful for the opportunity. But I'm glad to be here, man. So thank you for having us. This is going to be a blast. I'm really excited about this.
Beautiful. I did say guests plural in the beginning, but since Mike was on earlier, Santino, he said make sure you get me in first, because once Santino starts speaking, I will not get a word in edgeways. Is that fair?
That might be fair. I could give him that. He needs a win here and there.
So now here's another surname I'll have a crack at. Is it Santino Caccione?
That's usually what I am called when everybody does it for the first time, but it's Caccone. Oh. Without the CH sign.
There you go. I can hear Mike in the background snorting. He told me to pronounce it like that.
No, I think it's rightfully deserved because he's nicknamed the name Butcher on our show. Like, he just can't say an NBA player's last name correct, no matter what it is. So it's only rightfully so that somebody just butchers his.
There we go. So, Santino, how are you enjoying doing the DFS content? And give us a quick plug. Why should people sign up for the DFS package, mate?
Yeah, I mean, Mike touched upon it very, very good. I don't know how much more I can expand on that, but yeah, I'm having a blast over there. We just added a couple new team members, to our DFS family over there. And we have, like he said, we have been doing, we're doing 7 days a week podcasting, 7 days a week layup lines, which there's going to be two articles a day and 7 days a week on Discord. There's a lot of stuff going on here, and it's going to be fun. And it's only $2, $1.99 US dollars. I'm not sure where all the listeners are on here, but US dollars, $1.99. You get so much content and so much stuff. We're going to be there, trying to be there every step of the way, answer any questions people have, let you know what the late roster moves are, movers and shakers, people who get ruled out at the last second, or you hear the news that, hey, yeah, he's going to be limited to tonight. We're going to be there for you and give you all the nuggets that we can share with you.
Well, that sounds really amazing. I need to get involved with DFS. I did try DFS for a while, but I found it, without help, it's actually pretty hard to stay on top of everything. And if you're busy, I guess that's the reason people should sign up for your package, isn't it? It saves people an absolute crap ton of time.
Mm-hmm. The only bad thing about DFS is now I have Mike calling me every day trying to bounce ideas and players off, and I just, it's too much of that guy.
So it sounds like even though you've been mates since you were 12 years old, you got stuck with him somehow.
Somehow, some way, and I don't know how to get out of it.
Well, there you go. Well, without further ado, why don't we jump into some of today's meaty topics? What I've done here, listeners, my lovely listeners, is I've broken off a few big topics related to teams who are playing today, and then I'll come back at the end of the show, because we're recording, obviously, it's 6 p.m. on East Coast on Thursday, so we haven't had the games yet. I will come back after the games and hit on the box scores for most of the guys that we talk about in the next section. I've broken off three big subtopics. I want to look at Minnesota T-Wolves for DFS and season long. I've got Charlotte and I've got the Hawks, three of probably the most intriguing teams for fantasy this season. And then we'll do some quick hits on some of the other teams playing, and I'll get some quick opinions from Mike and Santino on those. Who knows? They might even disagree on some stuff. And as I said, at the end of the show, I'll be back with the box score. Let's just jump into the first one. So Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm interested what you guys think about them for DFS and also season long. I was listening to your show from today, and Mike, you said Minnesota is a direction we might want to go, referring to tonight's game. Can you elaborate on that? And of course, as this is season long fantasy, maybe tell us who you like or don't like there over the whole season as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm definitely going to be loading up on some of these T-Wolves guys. I mean, there's multiple reasons. One, D'Angelo Russell's already been ruled out. So we know that a lot of this offense is going to get funneled through Russell and through Towns. So when one of those guys sits, that's going to open up some shot attempts and some usage. And they have a guy in their starting lineup named Malik Beasley who's never shy. So he's starting. He's going to probably have an extra, you know, 4, 5, 6 shot attempts possibly. So he's a guy that I was definitely focusing on. And with that comes some ball handling responsibilities too. So Ricky Rubio, the newly acquired, you know, old veteran that they once had, is coming off the bench during these first few preseason games. So now he should have the ample opportunity to start in that lineup. And then we probably see an extra few minutes from him. And then obviously Karl-Anthony Towns, with all that offense, is being focused and ran through him. Without D'Angelo Russell, we'll probably see him play at the top of the key a little bit more, probably get a few more extra outside shots. I wouldn't be surprised. And they've only had 3 preseason games. This is their last preseason game. It's their third one. The team hasn't had a lot of time. This isn't a team that was necessarily in the bubble either. So you imagine that they're going to want to sit here and see how much run they can get in their last run. This is going to be probably their dress rehearsal game. And Coach Carlisle on the other side of the ball has kind of already came out and said that, you know, he's looking to play the Mavericks, probably 3/4 their starters. So generally teams try to match that if possible. And it's the last preseason game. So I'm expecting this to be, you know, probably about mid 25 to 28 minutes from most of the starters in this game on both sides of the ball.
And Santino, Mike dropped a couple of names there, people like Rubio and Beasley. What happens to these guys if everybody is playing?
So when everybody plays, that's the tricky thing. We haven't fully seen what their starting lineup is going to be. Saunders wanted to flip and flop and do some matchups in the preseason. You assume they brought in Rubio to play point guard. I know when they first brought him in, D'Angelo Russell himself was saying, I'm very excited to play with a natural point guard like that. But he'd been coming off the bench for the most part in the preseason, on and off. So that's going to be where we want to find out. Is Rubio going to start with Westbrook there? I mean, well, no, with Russell. I got the name butcher's already going. Is Rubio and Russell going to start in the backcourt and Malik Beasley at small forward? Or are they going to put Russell, Beasley, and then maybe Okogie out there at small forward, and then have Edwards and Rubio off the bench? That's something that I want to look at and know for a fact going into the season. We'll have more clarity once they finally make up their minds more there. But I see most of them playing probably 30 minutes a game. I see Russell playing 35 minutes a game. And I know this is a season-long league, season-long show, and this is one of my favorite teams. Before they even got Rubio and before the Edwards draft, this was going to be one of my favorite teams to watch this year. It's just the thing that they do is they play fast. And if you watched even last year with or without Towns, this was one of the most fantasy-friendly, if not the most fantasy-friendly offense to be in. They play at a top three pace. They just chuck three pointers. They give up a lot. Whoever's playing against them is also going to be playing at that pace and taking a bunch of shots. And they rack up defensive stats. They don't play great defense, but they rack up stats. And then fantasy, that's all you care about. So this is going to be one of my favorite teams to watch, not only on League Pass, but to roster these people. And I think people like Towns, you know, that is a top three talent there. Russell, people are kind of sleeping on him here, but I give everybody on this team a little bump up because of the system that they're going to play in and the opportunities that they're going to get.
That's an interesting one. Does that mean that would you take a D Russ before you take a Fred VanVleet type guy?
So naturally, if you're doing a normal draft, I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I'm seeing that D'Angelo Russell's going about a round and a half later, mm-hmm. so I wouldn't have to reach on him there, and I would be able to wait. But if you took D'Angelo Russell before of Fred VanVleet, I would not have any qualms about that. Assuming he's going to start at point guard, the Ricky Rubio signing kind of muddled him a little bit for me, just slightly downticked, because if he was starting at point guard, you would expect 7-8 assists and 20 plus points a game and all the usage he can handle in this system. But yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I don't think you have to reach for him in that scenario.
That's good. I've got a few drafts coming up on the weekend, and as I've mentioned on a few shows so far, my son's name is D'Angelo, so I've got to get a couple of D'Angelos. It's funny, like I usually do that waiting myself, and then someone grabs him just before I was going to grab him. So I might have to. I've got some drafts where I'm drafting later. So far, I've been in the sort of 1 to 6 range on every draft, and it just seems to fall where he's gone about where I'm going to grab him, but. On the weekend, I'm later in some drafts, including in one of Dan Bespris's home leagues, the Dan's Tiger Neighborhood, I think it's called. I'm at the 9 spot, so I might end up getting D'Angelo. Who knows? What about Anthony Edwards, Mike? Yesterday, I joked on the show that he could be the first ever rookie sixth man of the year if he can just manage to hit 45% from the field. He took 14 shots in their previous game, so he certainly hasn't seen a shot before that he doesn't like, has he?
No, and I mean, this kid, he's used to taking those shot attempts. You know, one of the leading shot takers in college last year coming out of Georgia, a lot of people are expecting big things. I think we're seeing him come off the bench simply because it's such a shortened season. They didn't have a full training camp. They didn't have a summer league. They didn't have a lot to necessarily just get him ready. He's a guy that, you know, just like a lot of these other rookies, we're seeing LaMelo come off the bench. We're seeing Wiseman come off the – well, he hasn't even played, but he will be probably coming off the bench. These are guys that will probably, you know, a few weeks in, maybe a month or two in, end up in that starting lineup once they get familiar with the systems, the offenses, the NBA speed, and all those other things. So – I still think, you know, Edwards has a bright ceiling. He's not a guy that I'm generally targeting right now in these season long leagues. I just think that, you know, you're not paying a premium price or anything from him, but there's still value, good value around there. And he's not even probably, you know, a top three rookie I would be targeting in this draft right now. So if he could crack that starting lineup, I'd probably feel a little bit more secured about him. But if he's getting 28 minutes off the bench, he's still going to have value. It's going to be the minutes off the bench.
Well, speaking of value, I've got to do a hoop ball promo here, and it's for something really good, which is called the Bruise Letter. The Bruise Letter
is a fun one. It's free stuff as well. Everyone loves free stuff. And what is that stuff, you might ask? It's the Bruise Letter, which is back. Oh, yes, it's back. And it's fresh for the 2021 NBA season. Our founder, the godfather himself, he walks with a limp like the guy from The Usual Suspects. Aaron Bruschi is writing an email newsletter filled with his most intimate, I got to lean into the microphone when I say that, intimate fantasy nuggets. It's exclusive content. You cannot find it anywhere else. It's not on the website. It's not on any podcast. I can't even get Bruschi to come on the podcast. It's not on social media. It's only in the email newsletter, and you can sign up and get it for free. Just go to bit.ly/bruiseletter2021. That's brew like the beer, B-R-E-W. God, I used to be able to spell. Bruise Letter 2021, all one word, and sign up in 10 seconds. Again, the site is simply bit.ly/bruiseletter2021. Aaron Bruschi, a.k.a., what was his name, Virgil, the guy from The Usual Suspects, straight to your inbox, and you can enjoy that. Wrap your eyes around it and get it in your email inbox today. Something almost as exciting as Aaron Bruschi in your inbox is the Charlotte Hornets for fantasy. They're another team, aren't they? That's really, really interesting. Let's let you go first this time, Santino, because Mike tried to say, make me go first every time, but I do want you to come back. So guards, let's talk guards. Who excites you the most here? You know, all things being equal on a regular night in DFS, I guess this depends on prices to some extent, doesn't it? Or to a big extent. And what about for season long?
And this was the Hornets, correct?
Yes, that's right. Charlotte Hornets, yeah.
Just wanted to make sure. So who excites me the most? Gordon Hayward, when he's healthy. We've seen him be the number one option on a team before, and he was a very good fantasy player. He was a very good DFS player. I know he just got hurt last night. I don't think it's too bad. I think he broke a finger, but I don't expect him to really miss much time. They labeled him day-to-day, so I guess that's something to monitor. If he's going to miss the beginning of the season or portions of it, then that just opens up a lot of minutes and a lot of usage for guys like Deontay Graham and the new prize rookie that they have in LaMelo Ball. I really don't see anything that I like from Terry Rozier. He think he's an all right basketball player. Maybe he can get you a couple defensive stats, but I'm not really looking at rostering him on any of my leagues, and I'm not really looking to play him any DFS night unless I happen to fall on him and two of those guys that I just mentioned are out. But LaMelo Ball is one of those guys that I don't think he's too good as a I think he's overhyped in my opinion, but for fantasy and DFS, he's going to be someone I'm going to play. He's going to be very, very cheap, and he's going to be able to rebound at his size at the guard position. He can distribute the ball, and you don't really have to worry about, especially DFS, missed shots. So you will have to worry about his turnovers, though, but I think he's going to be able to rack up numbers there, so I like him. Devontae Graham, same way. He can shoot and just shoot and just shoot and just shoot. You don't really lose points for missed shots, and he does not have any shy bone in his body about taking them. But Gordon Hayward is the top dog here. I know in season long, you're going to have to reach up for him because comparatively to these other guys, he's probably going to go 3, 4, maybe 5 rounds ahead. But we got to figure out that finger first. And if that is going to cause him to miss a little bit of time, I will have more exposure to Graham and Ball to start that season.
And Mike, since we've touched on Hayward, let's get back to him again. I guess we probably, even though they're saying day to day, there's a good chance we're going to get a sample next week, maybe even in a competitive game with him out, what happens. And given the awful luck that he's had with injuries, I mean, there's even some Gordo conspiracy theories out online about why he's getting injured all the time, including stuff related to how his wife and partner was not very kind to Celtics fans, and maybe they got the leprechauns against them. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. There's a good chance that he's going to be injured again at some time during the season. Can you plan and take guys on a team in season long thinking that there are other guys on the team who are likely to be out and you're going to get a big bump when they are? And secondly, Are you excited to see what happens with the usage and minute splits without him?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it obviously depends on your league. So if you're in a deep enough league where these guys, you know, they have some standalone value outside of just, you know, Gordon Hayward goes down, you know, if that happens sometime in the season, I'll be able to use them. Then sure. I mean, I don't think you could just hold dead weight. There's a few guys in a few different scenarios around the league where, you know, a bench guy is still getting 26 minutes, you know, behind the starter. But if, you know, starter gets hurt, he's playing 35 now. In those circumstances, absolutely. You know, in that same vein, I don't think that we can just sit here and say, you know, Gordon Hayward, he's guaranteed to get hurt. If it was something, you know, related to his leg that was giving him issues last year, and obviously the same leg that he broke the year prior, then maybe. But, you know, this is it's a broken pinky that we're talking about. This is something that most players actually just splint or tape up. So they're expecting it not to necessarily be a big issue going forward. You know, like I said, I think on our show last night, I wouldn't be shocked if he sits tonight and they mentioned giving like Jalen McDaniels and, you know, a few other rookies some more minutes. But I think the main beneficiary, if he were to miss any time, would most likely be Miles Bridges. He'd probably see his way into that starting lineup. And then obviously guys like LaMelo would get a few more minutes as well.
Another guy who's very interesting, and it just kind of, when you think about fantasy, just sort of segueing into this point, last year I had Charlotte guys and I watched a lot of Charlotte on League Pass. It was a really exciting team to watch because of Devontae Graham, who I picked up in pretty much off the waiver wire in almost every single points league I play in for a start, and a couple of nine cat leagues where I was punting field goal percentage already and soft punting turnovers too. And he was huge value. But this season, they add somebody like Hayward and they add LaMelo, but they also become a better team, maybe playing at a higher pace of offense and maybe as well being in contention when the fantasy playoffs are on, so they become more trustworthy. Tying into that is a guy like PJ Washington, who was in and off the waiver wire, in and out of the waiver wire in leagues last season. Is he somebody that you're interested in, Santino? And does Charlotte being better, even though there's more competition there, make people like this more interesting, or is it a wash?
I think he's someone in play for me. I think there are quite a few guys here, especially when you look at bad teams and you look at trying to roster them. There's quite a few people on bad teams, especially if they play fast, that you don't mind rostering, and someone's got to get points here. So outside of the guards, yeah, I think Mike mentioned Miles Bridges. He's a guy if you like, only if Gordon Hayward's out. But PJ Washington's probably the guy in this front court and the only guy in this front court that I do have some interest in. I wouldn't touch. I'd let Cody Zeller just sit there. Any type of game, whether it's DFS, fantasy, I just don't want any part of Cody Zeller. I don't think he's terrible, but he's just not. He doesn't get the juices flowing there, as I would say. He's just very. Not a sexy name, but PJ Washington does have some skill. He can put up some defensive numbers. He gets here and there on rebounds. He could get you up to eight or so, and he shoots threes. He's a pretty good three-point shooter, and then that's what you want. If you can get a block, a steal, and a three out of a late-round pick with some rebounds, a couple assists here and there, doesn't kill you in any percentages. I mean, he's a guy who, if he sees some improvement, very, very good things looking for him. And the craziest thing about it is last year at this time, they were talking about putting him into the G League the entire season. He not only didn't go to the G League, but he started on day one for him.
Yeah, well, I got him at 123 in a Roto League. Should I be happy with that?
Yeah, that's not a bad. That's a pretty good pick. Is what? How big's the league there?
It's a 12-team league. And
12-team league?
Yeah.
All right, so you got him in about the 10th round or so?
That's right. I think it was, might have been, third pick of the 11th round. Does that make sense? Yeah, because 10 times 12, 120, mm-hmm. Your third pick of the 11th.
Yeah, and I think he finished as top 100 guy last year. Mm. And you can definitely expect a little bit of improvement. And if they are true to their word and want to play him more minutes at center, I think that's his best position as a stretch five. I think he can only improve if they give him those minutes. If they decide to continue giving them to Bismack Biyombo and Cody Zeller, then there's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, he is a guy. There is still the possibility that he ends up on the waiver wire if they do silly business like that. But at center, I love him a lot. Speaking of things that I love a lot, I love the Atlanta Hawks on League Pass. I loved them last season. I'm going to love them even more this season. They are a very, very interesting fantasy team, and they're one of the main narratives that Scott and I are going to come back and hit on through the season. Let's have a look. I've sort of broken this up into their top tier guys. I've got Capella and some fringy guys that I want to talk about. Let's start with Trae Young, Mike. Does Trae Young, you know, hold late first round or early second round value, even with all these new additions? What can we expect? Better efficiency, but slightly less volume on shots with all these other gunners around?
So it's funny that you asked this. I think Santino and I just had this conversation offline maybe about 3 days ago, because we have a draft coming up this Saturday. I have the 10th pick, and Trae Young is probably the guy I'm looking at. So, no, I still love Trae Young this season. All the additions, you know, having a rim-running center like Capella, I think is going to help him as far as his assists, something that he hasn't had. John Collins is a guy that now they can actually put on the outside, use his three-point, the three-point shot that he does have. I do expect, you know, maybe a little less volume, but this is still Trae Young. He's still a superstar. He's still the best dude on his team. Almost averaged 30 points last season. So if we're talking, you know, I think he averaged 29.4. You know, if we're looking at 27, 26, even if it's 25, he's still going to get you that close to 9 assists. He's still going to get you three and a half three-pointers, great free throw percentage on volume free throws. He's just going to hurt you a little bit in the percentage in the turnover, but you know what you're getting out of him. And we know that, you know, elite scorers and high assist guys come at a premium this year in this draft.
Santana?
I do have to say, I have to switch the court here. There is a big news that is just popping up while we are on this podcast. I feel like breaking news, we should just throw it in there. So just, I don't know if you guys heard, about 5 minutes ago, Shams Charania. Yeah, I know, Mike, I know, I butchered that. I'll just go with Shams just dropped a bomb and said the Philadelphia 76ers have made Ben Simmons available in some packages with the Houston Rockets for James Harden.
Wow.
Right. And it says conversations aren't fluid as of now. If Woj or Shams say that there's definitely a lot of truth to that statement there. They don't just put out things to put out things.
Wow. Well, that's, yeah, I've just saw my phone, just reaching out to my phone here and seeing it as well. 76ers Rockets talked about Simmons. That would be fascinating. Maybe we can hit that in the Houston section in our quick hits, and we'll drop back onto that for sure. Capella is another one at the Hawks. Do you like him? He's a guy who has top 30 upside, but seems to be available sometimes as late as 60 or 70 even in some of the drafts I'm doing, Santino. Are you scared off by big man with foot injuries, or are you willing to grab value with him? Obviously, he has value in DFS if he's not too expensive as well, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, it's him and Collins. When he was in Houston, he wasn't playing with a top flight. I know he a guy who can make the All-Star team right beside him, but a healthy Clint Capella, which he looked pretty good so far. He's good for nearly two blocks or more, double digit rebounds, very good field goal percentage, probably 14 points or so. And he's not going to be the number one, number two, number three option. Even when he was playing with Harden, he was just a guy who he doesn't create his own shot. He cleans up the boards and puts back or gets very good positioning and gets easy buckets there. So you don't need a guy. For him, all these other new pieces around him who are going to gobble up shots, he's not a guy who's a high usage guy anyway. So as long as he's looking healthy, which right now he is, I have no qualms about him, assuming you don't care about your free throw percentage, even though he doesn't take too many free throws anyway to kill you. But there are very few people in this league that can rebound and block shots like he can and pitch in steals with great field goal percentage. So if that's what you're looking for, and like you said, he's going later than he would normally go. Before his last healthy season, he was going in the third round pretty much. So now you can get him maybe fifth, sometimes late as the sixth, earlier as the fourth. That's pretty good value for him, and he is one of those big men who block shots, which we don't usually see a ton of those anymore.
Interesting one, isn't it? Well, we haven't really seen him play. We haven't seen him play a regular season with game with Atlanta at all. So
once we do have regular season games, he's one of the ones that we really want to look at his minutes. And also, obviously, related to that, John Collins, what the impact is on John Collins. Obviously, less rebounds. He's going to have less rebounds and he's going to play further away. I think, as Mike maybe just mentioned, his field goal percentage might not be what you'd expect from a big who's as big as him, because he's playing out on the perimeter a bit more. Will be very interesting to see what happens in terms of what kind of value those guys return. What about fringy guys on the Hawks, like people like your Cam Reddishes or DeAndre Hunter types, or even Gallo and Bogdanovich, or Bog, as we call him down under? What about those guys? Are they any of those late rounds? Some of them are very late, obviously. You know, Reddish, Hunter's on the waiver wire. Reddish is probably a last round upside grab. These are guys probably that in DFS are interesting because they're going to be cheap. But trying to predict who is going to be have value on a night-to-night basis is going to be a nightmare. And maybe one of the reasons why people should pay for the content that you guys are selling so cheaply.
Yeah.
Are you taking this one, Sonny? My fault. Yeah. No, you take
it. Yeah, I'll jump on this one. So this team is so deep, it's very hard to plug and play any of the guys that you mentioned, all the fringy guys, unless we have confirmation that someone is hurt or two people are hurt or not playing that night, sitting out for whatever the reason may be. But these guys, there's so many people on this team that they're all going to be chopped up in minutes, which there's no safe guy here. But for me, out of those guys, out of Bogdan, out of Huerter, Reddish, Hunter, all of them, and you even have Gallinari, who they're saying is strictly going to play power forward and back up John Collins. So that takes off a lot of minutes from Hunter sliding down to the four and then Reddish sliding into the three. It's very choppy, but I digress. Out of all these guys, the one guy that I think is the most talented of that group is Cam Reddish. I think he's better than Bogdan. I think he's better than Hunter. I think he's better than Huerter. But for a fantasy perspective, I just don't know if he's going to get the run, and he's definitely not going to get the usage with all of these new faces in town. And that's where it comes there. But in a real life basketball setting, I think this guy's good, and I think he can be really good. Jump the lead on these guys like Hunter and Huerter, and if he can jump the lead and get himself into an established 30-minute role with this team, which is going to be hard to do with so many mouths to feed, he's a guy that I like to take a late round flyer on.
Gallo is an interesting one, Mike, isn't he? Because it's only two seasons ago he was the 28th ranked player in season long 9 category. Last season he was 64. He's had two other seasons in the top 50. There's probably no way he returns even that top 60 value, is there? Would you be interested in Gallo in the 8th, 9th, 10th round?
Yeah, I'm not going to rule him out necessarily out of that top 60. I mean, that's kind of, you know, where I would probably put his ceiling. But he's definitely, you know, probably still in that top 80, top 90 range. He's still going to see a sizable role playing their sixth man. You know, he agreed to this. I don't think he would have came over to Atlanta and agreed to this sort of deal if he felt like he wasn't going to get playing time. So I'm still, you know, anticipating a 26 to 28 minute role. And it's just going to be pure offense from him. You know, he's going to be chucking. He's not going to be sharing these shots with anybody else really on the bench. So I'm still expecting some decent things. He's not a guy that I'm overly high on. But, you know, at the right price, he's not a guy that, you know, I mind if he falls to me. Not to mention, you know, Clint Capella's been dealing with this Achilles soreness for probably about better half of a year. And we've seen some John Collins injuries from him himself as well. So any of these guys go down, you were just talking before about, you know, a guy that you could draft who has some standalone value. And if somebody gets hurt, gets a big boost. I think, you know, Danilo Gallinari kind of fits that bill.
And an interesting point, too, because if you look at where he provides value, 3 points, his Z score is 1.2.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Five, and that was on 2.9 made threes. Apart from that, the only other really positive category he has is free throw percentage, and you would probably he gets to the line a little bit less, but he's not going to hurt you there. So if he can keep shooting those threes, keep his points relatively stable, if he can hit that sort of 15 points a game, then I reckon he does provide that top 80 value, and he's got a reasonably solid floor, unlike some of the guys that you take in a similar range where you're starting to take upside guys who, you know, anything could happen on a team like Detroit. Like if you're taking him or say Jeremy Grant, for example, Santino, who would you prefer to the floor of Gallo or the ceiling of Grant? I mean, Grant's floor is an interesting one, isn't it? Because he could be really bad and just kill you in field goal percentage by the looks of it.
Yeah. And that's a good one there. The reason I would go with this one, and I would probably go with Grant and take the upside there, because right now, if they're true to their word, Gallo is going to be – how many minutes can we expect from him? Can we see 30 minutes? I know if Clint Capella gets hurt, then you can easily slide Collins down to the center, and Gallo plays 35 minutes at power forward and pretty good. But he's never been historically a guy who puts up defensive numbers, and when I play fantasy – You need to get me some defensive numbers if you want to be on my team. He's more of a three-point shooter, a very good field goal percentage guy, and he scores some points. But the prospect of Jerami Grant, yes, Mike, I know, with Grant is that he's going to get a significant run. I think they're trying to make him into a number one or number two option, which I don't know if that's going to be feasible for him, but he can get you some defensive numbers, and if he's playing 35 minutes a game, I'd rather have a guy who can get you possibly a block and over a block and over a steal and over a three than one who can't.
Do you disagree? Why was Santino saying your name in there, Mike?
Well, I disagree with the way he says Jeremy. You know, it's really Drummy. Not a hard name. He says, yeah, we call him the Butcher for a reason over on our show, and he's put it on full display tonight.
What was the Kevin Huerta one? Kevin Huerta.
Queerer.
Isn't that queerer? It's brutal.
Look, I mean,
it's whatever you want it to be.
I'm not one to criticize people on pronunciation. I'm a massive Tottenham fan, and I call Jose Mourinho, our coach, Jose, because I've taught so many Spanish students that I can't say Jose. I don't have enough Portuguese students. So I'm not one to criticize. But what did you think? What about Grant?
I think Grant's got some, you know, we know, like you guys were just talking about the defensive stats, and that's kind of pretty much Grant's calling card and what he could provide. He's a guy that could get you a steal and could get you a block, and he could also get you a three. The tantalizing upside's there. I'm fully anticipating him to destroy our field goal percentages if we do have him. So I would probably lean towards Grant just simply because those defensive numbers around that draft position where we're talking, you know, 8, 9-ish, they're not as easy to find. And, you know, he does have a little bit more upside. And being forced into that role in Detroit right now, he might be their number two or three option in that offense, especially if something happens to Blake Griffin, which seems to happen every single year. You know, there's a lot of different avenues for Grant to, you know, finish in like that top, you know, 65 range. So I'd probably lean Grant there as well.
Yeah, I've got him in, I think, two leagues. He's an example of a guy that I don't want. I've got perhaps 16 leagues going. He's an example of a guy I probably don't want to have in more than about two, maybe three if he fell further enough for me to grab him. I think I got him around 80th, right about where we're talking about these guys. So, and I got Gallo somewhere else about pick 90. So I would lean probably towards taking the risk on Grant and backing myself to find somebody off the waiver wire if he doesn't work out, like if he's really terrible, or just, you know, fall into that field goal percentage punt. This has been super, very informative for me and enjoyable. Now we're going to just speed right up and do some quick hits on the other teams playing today. And I'll come back and touch on all the main guys that we've talked about here in my box score read coming up after this. Orlando, first quick hit straight to you, Santino. Markel Fultz, give me two sentences on Markel.
Fast, like him. Very cheap. Oh, I did two words.
He's so bad.
That was three phrases. It's like me marking one of my
Do you see what I have to deal with over here? Do you see what it's like at a day-to-day show?
I don't know why when you said it, that's what came to mind. Like two words, that's what I got. And
I always throw this in at the last minute to people. Just, it's like one of those, are you smart enough to work for Google tests, you know? Have you guys read that book? It's definitely a good book to read. And there's lots of like ideas in there that you can throw at people to find out how smart they are. But Santino is obviously very clever. This is a podcast and I put him on the spot. I feel bad now. So he said he was fast and good. Mike, can you, I kind of understand why you guys work together now. You compliment each other well. Finish his sentences for him.
Yeah, so I guess my two sentences would be a stable role and room to grow. That's beautiful. It.
Buddy, that was the same thing I did that you just made fun of.
So do you like him? How high would you reach? Like in the 70 to 80 range or even higher?
Yeah, it probably depend on my build. I don't mind taking Markelle Fultz around that seventh round pick. Even if you're looking in the late sixth and you need guards, I think he's walking into a stable role. I think the Magic are backing this dude. They really want to see him succeed. They've been working with him off the clock during the offseason. And if we're looking at Markelle Fultz in 30 minutes, just the defensive stats alone, you know, make it worth and warranting that pick.
Next one, quick hit. Okay, Santino, are you ready this time? I'll give you the name. And I'll give Russell Westbrook. I'll talk a little bit so you can think. Is he going to be top of the range value in Washington in a couple of sentences? Let's think about like DFS. Last season, he was a guy who was right alongside Harden almost and Luka as like the most expensive guy you could have. Does he maintain that in Washington?
On DFS leagues, yes. If he's going to be much better than he was last year now that he's not playing with Harden. He's going to be back on as the main ball handler, on the main distributor. Anytime he plays for season long, the thing is if you're playing in a head-to-head league, then he makes a lot more sense than points league because he's going to miss quite a few games. They already said he's likely to miss all the back-to-backs. That's what Scott Brooks said. But when this guy's on the court, I'm expecting – right back to where he played last time he played with Scott Brooks and triple doubles galore. This guy is going to you're going to see a Westbrook that we got accustomed to before he went to the Rockets.
I love how you went way over the two sentence limit with him. Just,
that's like you're not going to win here.
He's one of my favorite players to watch. I couldn't hold back.
But I mean, it's perfect because that's exactly what Russell Westbrook does. He's just like, I'm going to stuff these stats. I'm going to stuff two sentences. No way, man.
I tried to stuff, there was a lot of commas in there. I don't know if you
called it. It was two run-on sentences. They were really, we got to edit those.
I needed an editor on those couple sentences.
Fly straight into Detroit. I'll go to Mike. This seems to be the best format for his quiz knowledge to shine. Trailer fire to predict in Detroit night to night, or can we find predictable worth?
I think the only predictable worth is going to be Blake Griffin while he's healthy.
Santino, anybody else there? We talked about Grant.
Predictability, it's going to be very hard in Detroit. If I'm going to take a stab at somebody else other than Grant and Blake, I'll throw one at DeLone. Actually, no. Mason Plumlee is – actually, no. For some reason, I'm seeing Mason Plumlee go off the board in the 60s. He's going to be a double-double with a block and a half, but I think that's too rich for me.
Maybe as a late-round guy. What about Memphis? How high are you on Ja and Clark? And with Triple J being out, how does that make you feel about Memphis, Mike? And you can have four sentences for this.
Yeah, so I love Ja. Clark, I think, is being a little bit overpriced. And I think JJJ at the right value looks like mid-January return. Absolutely love with this. You're getting a third-round return on a guy that you could draft in the 6th, 7th, possibly sometimes even later.
Stashed him in a couple of places as well. Triple J, a guy you like to stash, Santino?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I love me some Triple J. And I don't know if Dylan Brooks was seeing things, but he said he grew 3 inches since the last time they saw him, which, oh, God. If you give Triple J 3 more inches and 3 more rebounds a game, that guy's a top 15 guy.
Sacramento, another team tonight. Trailer fire to predict night tonight, or can we find predictable worth outside of De'Aaron Fox, Mike?
That's a great question, actually. I think that we could. Buddy Hield looks like he's playing his way into that starting lineup as much as the Kings just despise him. So I'll say Buddy Hield as well.
Last one. Let's come back to Houston. Without Russell Westbrook, Santino, Christian Wood, DeMarcus Cousins, Harden, Wall. Well, if Harden might not be there, we have to really wait and see what happens now, don't we?
Yeah. If Ben Simmons goes there, how can you play Ben Simmons and John Wall, two people who can't shoot the basketball and drive to the bucket? That's going to be really weird. And then you have Cousins and Wood there. We'll have to see what happens. But I like Wood over Cousins. Cousins just hasn't played in 2 years. And John Wall, he keeps creeping up draft boards to where it's almost – now it's too high for me. Before you were getting him in about the 7th, 8th round. Now I'm seeing him go in the 5th. That's a little, it keeps climbing for me. And I wonder by the end of this week if he's going to be in the 4th round.
Yes, indeed. Well, gentlemen, it was fantastic having you on. You can find Mike at Mike Apatria. Hold on, I'll do my voice. Are you looking at me? Apatria, Mike Apatria. There we go. And it's at Mike, APOTRIA. You can also just search DFS Today at Hoopball or DFS Package if you want to sign up and keep these guys fed and watered. You can find Santino at Santino Cacone? Cacone.
Cacone.
There we go. Cacone at Santino Cacone. I got your back for all the mispronunciation today. C A double C O N E. It's good having names like that because you don't have to have a fancy moniker like me. I'm Mr. Jolly of Sydney because there's about 9 Aaron Jollies who already got in before me, which is a little bit sad. Gentlemen, I was planning for us to do about 35. We did 45 because I don't think any one of us is short of a word. Can I get you back on again, though? That was a lot of fun. It would be lovely to have you guys on regularly through the season. Did I do enough to get you back?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, anytime, man. Anytime.
Okay, that was a lot of fun. Thank you very much, gentlemen, and good luck with the DFS. Guys, sign up for their DFS package. Well worth it. And we're going to have a lot of fun together this season. Bye for now. And I will be back after this ad read to do the box scores for today, and we'll find out if any of us were talking some absolute nonsense, although, of course, it's the preseason, so we can't read too much into it, but interesting to see if there are any narrative hits that we can come back to. See you very shortly. But before we do that, we need to have a word from our sponsors. Well, actually, it'll be a word from me because I'm going to be reading it for you. I would like to give you an introduction to a wonderful product from Manscaped called the Weed Whacker. Listen up, because we've got a new Manscaped product alert. Manscaped has just released the Weed Whacker nose and ear and hair trimmer for your nose and ear even. Take a look in the mirror and I guarantee you, you'll see hair sticking out of these holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as your clean-shaven bits downstairs. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor powered 360 degree rotary dual blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience and it is waterproof, which makes easy operation and cleaning a dream. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium ion battery that lasts for up to 90 minutes of use. And as Scott and I always say, if you need it for 90 minutes on your nose, you've probably got a fairly big one. Have you ever pulled your nose hair out with your fingers? That might hurt worse than nicking your balls. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to, delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes, you will get a replaceable blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shopping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code HOOPBALL20. What are you waiting for? Go and whack your weeds. So, we get to the box score, bearing in mind, of course, that during the season, we'll obviously get to the box score quite a bit faster than this, although we will have some East Coast guests, like I think you'll agree, Santino and Mike were great, and they will join us probably before I do the box score, and I'll do what I'm doing today, which is kind of look back and starting with the game, the Charlotte Hornets versus the Orlando Magic, and there were some names on the Hornets side that we discussed earlier. Let's have a look at a couple of those. Let's start with Devontae Graham. 28 minutes, 18 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 for 10 from deep, 7 for 17. Gee, that's some volume right there. Terry Rozier, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 big steals, 5 for 5 from the line, 3 for 6 from deep, 6 for 13, and he played 28 minutes. LaMelo Ball, this one was interesting, very, very interesting. We talked about what would happen if Hayward was out. LaMelo Ball, 18 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 4 for 9 from deep, 9 three-pointers. Have a look at that volume. He had 17 shots as well, just as many as Devontae Graham. Wow, that is fairly tasty. We can kind of get an idea of what might happen if Hayward does miss time. LaMelo Ball has some very interesting value right there. Devontae and Terry are both getting Terry Rozier both getting an uptick in usage. What was interesting was that Miles Bridges did not start. Actually, Cody Martin started, and Cody Zeller, the two Codys, double Cody action. Cody Zeller started and played at center 17 minutes. So we did not get the lineup of death without Hayward. Hopefully when Hayward comes back, we'll see PJ Washington go to center. I think that's what everybody would like to see. On the Orlando Magic side of things, we only really talked about Fultz in the quick hits. He played 30 minutes today. Those minutes are beautiful. He got 16 shots, 6 for 16 shooting, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. He's always going to grab a steal or, you know, a couple of steals and maybe sometimes a block for you as well. He missed his 3-point shots, but we don't really need much more than that. From Markel, Nick Vucevic was brilliant again. 27 points, 12 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. What else is worth noting here? Not really very much other than Aaron Gordon is not somebody you want to draft. 4 for 10, 11 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. Maybe if you can get him around the 100 point, but inefficient. Missed his 3-point shots as well. Gordo, you can do better than that. In the second game of the evening, we had a team that we wondered, is it someone you can find consistent value in? Detroit Pistons playing against the Washington Wizards. Shout out to John Steele all the way over in Korea. Big Wizards man. On the Pistons side of things, Jeremy Grant, a guy we talked about earlier. Does he have value around the 80 mark? He had 22 minutes for his 15 points, 2 rebounds, no assists, no steals, no blocks. So the defensive categories that the gents mentioned earlier, not showing up there. Only eight field goal attempts, but he shot 3 for 5 from deep. So those threes and defensive categories that you're hoping for from Grant are probably going to be there. His field goal wasn't too bad today, although he did reduce it. Other things of interest, DeLon Wright played 18 minutes and started at the guard point today. He had 13 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. So DeLon Wright showing some of the value you might get from him. Mason Plumlee was mentioned in the show today. 20 minutes from him. He had 8 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals. He's a very interesting deep sleeper, isn't he? If you've run out of centers, maybe around that 100 point, you might get some value from him. On the Wizards side of things, so many favorite players here. I really like the Wizards. Tom Bryant played 28 minutes. He had 11 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and wait for it, 4 blocks. Tommy Bryant, the tank. I tell you what, if he does that for you, 4 blocks, you can't complain about that. 2 for 7 from the field, though, 1 for 3 from deep. Bradley Beal only played 15 minutes, so I don't think we need to talk about his line in minutes that short. Isaac Bonga, maybe an example
of preseason things that don't really matter, because he's not going to get 33 minutes when everybody is playing. Rui Hachimura was not playing today. Russell Westbrook, of course, most importantly, did not play. So there's extra usage for everybody. Bonga had 10 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals, maybe somebody in 14 or 16 team leagues to keep have a look at. Mo Wagner was one mentioned earlier. He had a pretty much terrible game, 4 points, although 8 rebounds, 3 assists for Mo, the giant European. Over to our third game for the evening, and it was the San Antonio Spurs up against the Houston Rockets. We probably should get through the Spurs quickly so we can get to the Rockets, which is where most people are probably fascinated about what happened today, if you don't already know. DeMar DeRozan for the Spurs. He's going to be value again. He's a classic Dan Vesprous old man squad guy, isn't he? 21 points, 3 rebounds, no assists, steals or blocks from him. And he missed his 3-point shots, but 32 minutes gives you a bit of an idea about him. They're not going to really roll out the youngsters, are they? Are they big minutes as well for LaMarcus Aldridge and also Rudy Gay? Lonnie Walker had 28 minutes again. Early season value for him as a streamer, perhaps, although he had 1 point, no rebounds, 2 assists, no steals, and he only got 2 shots, which he missed in 28 minutes. So that is not very enticing, is it? Devin Vassell played 26 minutes, and this is a little bit more enticing. He had 18 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists, 8 for 13 from the field. Maybe an interesting possible streamer that you could look at. 14-team, 16-team leagues as well, while Keldon Johnson is out and Derek White is out. That's probably about the only time he will have value unless something magical happens, like Pop decides that he wants to rebuild or something. The Rockets. Now, this is where we probably have possibly the takeaway of the day, the most interesting thing in terms of fantasy, because this is a guy that has been drafted by people anywhere between the 4th and the 7th round, people really wondering what Christian Wood is going to be like if he's unleashed, and he has put up a huge line. 27 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 for 6 from deep, so he's got 2 3-pointers for you, 10 for 18 from the field in just 23 minutes. That is marvelous. James Harden played, and he had 20 in his 27 minutes. He had 20 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, 3 for 6 from deep. James Harden, I don't think you should be worried if you drafted him at number 1, whether he's in Houston or at Philadelphia or wherever. He's going to return first round value. It's probably he'll be the best, or at least in the top 3. I don't think you can go wrong with him. What else was interesting for the Houston Rockets was, of course, we had no John Wall today. Daniel House got extra usage. Eric Gordon played 26 minutes. PJ Tucker played 25 minutes. All of those guys, I think it's going to be a bit of a trailer fire trying to work out who you want. It's really going to be Wood, Harden, DeMarcus Cousins, and John Wall, unless Harden leaves, and then we can talk about it again. And our next game of the evening was the very season-long narrative, interesting Atlanta Hawks up against the Memphis Grizzlies. Also a very interesting fantasy team. We talked about Ja earlier. We talked about some Hawks players. Let's have a look at how they went. DeAndre Hunter, one of those fringe guys we mentioned, he was 22 points but only 1 rebound, no assists, 1 steal, 5 for 8 from deep, though, an interesting deep league guy and maybe a 12-team streamer. He might even have early season value, although some of those empty stats that are there, aren't they? We talked about this before, comparing him to Cam Reddish. Reddish in only 20 minutes compared to Hunter's 28 minutes. He had 12 points, but he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and he still managed to get 2 for 4 from deep. Hunter had 5 3-pointers there, so that the difference in value, but still Reddish hitting all those categories for you. So if Reddish can get his minutes up to 24 minutes and Hunter's comes down, then Reddish is probably your guy. John Collins had 10 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. And he missed his three-pointers. He had 0 for 2 there in 29 minutes. Clint Capela, a guy I've been drafting a bit because he seems to be falling. To me, 13 points, 9 rebounds, and 2 big blocks in his 25 minutes. If those minutes push up around 30, we'll probably see Capela returning top 50 value. So if I get him at 60 or 70, I'm very happy with that. Trae Young had 26 minutes for his 15 points, 4 rebounds, and 6 assists. Trae Young even had 2 blocks today. That's a crazy stat for you. Where have they come from? 4 from 15 from the field. So the volume was there for Trae. That was something we worried about, although the efficiency was not. Danilo Gallinari only played 20 minutes, 8 points. Three rebounds, no assists, no steals, 1 for 5 from deep. He really is looking like a big man 3-point streamer, and maybe nothing more. For the Memphis Grizzlies, Jonas Valanciunas, 20 points, 13 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 for 2 from deep for Jonas, 4 for 4 from the 3-point line, from the foul line, and 7 for 9. Field goal percentage was really good as well. He is a decent guy to be grabbing when you need a big man, and maybe if you don't get one of the elite ones before him. Ja Morant, 18 points, 13 assists. So the lads were saying earlier they love Ja this year, and they absolutely do. They're not just the Rastafarians who love Ja. It's also fantasy managers all around the world. 7 for 12 shooting. Missed his three-pointers. The free throws were a bit down, 4 for 6, but those 13 assists to go with 18 points and a couple of steals, wow. For our next game, it was the Timberwolves up against the Dallas Mavericks, a team close to my heart because I have them in a 30-team deep league. On the Timberwolves side, some of the guys that we talked about earlier, Anthony Edwards, 26 minutes, 17 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 three-pointers. I love that as a last-round flyer. Malik Beasley, 18 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 three-pointers. He is looking like somebody that you might like to grab around about the 10th round or something. That is a nice-looking line. Karl Anthony Towns, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, those big-man assists, 1 steal and 2 three-pointers for Cat. And we're hoping for him to have a big season because he's a guy that I've got in a few places after drafting from number 3. On the Dallas Mavericks side of things, Luka, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists in his 27 minutes. It was 6 for 18 from the field. One category that we need to see Luka do better on his free throws, and he had 8 for 9 in this game. Gee, if he could keep that up all season and shoot from the foul line like Steph Curry, wow, he would be the number one guy in fantasy, wouldn't he, by some distance. Other players that may be interesting, Josh Richardson is someone we've talked about. He had 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 three-pointers in his 27 minutes, and he looks like a value guy towards the end of drafts. For our next game, we had the Golden State Warriors up against the Sacramento Kings, and Steph Curry had another really big game. He is looking like a top 3 or 4 guy if he keeps this up. 29 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 6 for 13 from deep, 5 for 5 from the foul line. Steph Curry is back in a big way. Kelly Oubre had a beautiful line as well. He's one of my MacGyver types that I like in those early mid rounds. 22 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 three-pointers for Kelly Oubre. Over to the Sacramento Kings. For the Kings, De'Aaron Fox had 30 minutes, although he didn't have a really great game because he only had 8 points. But look at those assists. 12 assists, 1 steal, but the free throw, it's so bad I completely can't even say it. He was 3 for 17 from the field, 17.6%, 0 for 7 from deep. Look, to be honest with you, I prefer Fred VanVleet because I think he's going to stink up your field goal percentage from time to time, isn't he, D'Aaron? Rashawn Holmes had 22 minutes. In his 22 minutes, he got 8 points, 4 rebounds, but he got 2 blocks.
Holmesy, he's a guy I like in that 70, 80, 90 range, depending on what other centers you've got. I think he can return some value for you just in those 22 minutes because of the defensive side of things with those blocks, and he grabs some steals as well sometimes. Not as many rebounds as you'd hope today, but we'll see how it goes during the season, of course. And over to the last game of the evening. Apologies if you hear my son in the background. He has had enough of me recording podcasts and he wants to go and shoot some hoops. So we'll get through this one as quick as possible. For the Utah Jazz, Rudy Gobert had 12 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and he didn't do much else because he only had 6 shots in his 26 minutes. Donovan Mitchell had 15 points, 3 rebounds, and 8 assists from the Don. Mike Conley, in his 24 minutes, he had 12 points, 4 assists. He was 4 for 8 from deep. He is probably the last point guard you might find in your drafts who's going to get you a lot of assists and threes. Hopefully you won't stink up your field goal percentage like he did last season when he was also ranker than septic. He was again today though, wasn't he? 4 for 12 at 33%. Geez, Mike, what has happened to your floater? It's just not what it used to be, is it? And the last team of the last game for the evening is of the LA Clippers. Are they a really interesting fantasy team? Shout out, of course, to Brandon Marcus from the Clippers pod. We love the Clippers. We'd love to see them in the finals against the Lakers if you want the best matchup, that's for sure. But in fantasy, what is interesting about the Clippers? Probably the most interesting thing is Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. How much value will they give you today? Paul George, in 25 minutes, he had 16 points. He had 1 rebound. He had 5 assists and 1 steal. He missed his 3-pointers, but he was 8 for 9 from the foul line on that volume. That is tasty. Kawhi Leonard had 13 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal in his 22 minutes. He chimed in with 3 3-pointers as well. Zubac had 23 minutes and didn't do much at all for the Clippers. It's a bit of a trail of fire trying to pull other things out of this as well because of the minutes. We should come back to the Clippers and talk more about them when we have regular season action, which we will have in just, I think it's 4 sleeps to go, isn't it? Until the 22nd, the first game of the season. I have been your host, Mr. Jolly of Sydney, and that is my Twitter handle as well. Check out the Hoopball quality content via hoop-ball.com. Give us a follow. Please subscribe, tell your friends about us, check out me. You can also check out Scotty, my partner. He is the Harlan, he's Harlander23 over on Twitter. Check us all out. Love you and leave you and see you on the next show. Bye for now.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.